Hello, everyone, and welcome to December of 2023 and the final episode of Let's Talk with Scott Ellis for the year. As we get into the holiday season for 2023 and we all start doing that year-end look back, enter Josie Ellis stage left, I thought that we would take a look back at where this business has been from 2023, and we've just passed Thanksgiving. Josie crosses toward stage right. And I thought I'd tell you about the things I am most thankful for. Josie Ellis hits her spot center stage and strikes a pose just like she should and right where she belongs. Josie, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's quite the introduction.
You deserve quite the introduction.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, big deep breath after this craziness of 2023.
It's been a great year.
Yeah.
We've done some amazing things this year.
We have some amazing people that have done it with us.
You know,
whether they're people that work with us or new authors and clients that have come to us. And so you and I did a conversation for the podcast, I don't know, maybe a year ago,
maybe
2 years ago.
Yeah, a year and a half or so.
Where we really talked about kind of how the business got started in that craziness. And you know, you and I didn't do much preparation for this episode because we wanted to just talk about where we've been. But boy, some things came up that kind of took us aback.
In lots of good ways, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So talk about 2017.
Well, we just looked back and realized that 2017 was when I started the business with Scott still working, with you still working. And it's hard to believe that it's been 7 years. That's pretty amazing. But I left my job in human resources, and you had some e-learning work that allowed both of us to be working on it. And I can't quite recall if I was editing yet at that point.
Oh, thank God for Dorothy Mae Mercer.
Yeah.
Yes, you were editing Dorothy Mae Mercer books for me.
Yep. Yeah. And it just, every year, it seems like we get more busy and add people to the team. And we survived COVID. You know, that was a big deal that really allowed us to, you know, I'm jumping ahead from 2017, but that really allowed us to grow our team as people were learning this craft when they weren't working. And many have stayed with us and do it part-time alongside our full-time gigs.
Yeah. And then I left the classroom. I retired in June of 2019. So you had kind of a 2 year jump on getting things organized and ready for us to launch into this full time. And, you know, one of the numbers that just boggles my mind is, because I wouldn't have guessed this number, but, you know, I've released about 100 books that I've narrated, and I've released 15 in 2023. I've got three more that are done. They just haven't been released. And I'm working on three more that probably won't be released by January 1st, so they won't be 2023s. But that's 23 titles. I
23 and 23.
Yeah. 23 titles that I've narrated. And if I were to think about it and throw out a number, I would have been in like the 5 or 6 range.
Yeah. We've certainly have a well-oiled machine with our team, whether it's you narrating or somebody else. And yeah, it is a, we move through those books.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. We didn't even count how many books we have that we've produced.
Right.
You know, you produce a ton of books with Jack.
Jack Varese's. No, we work well together and probably have done, I can't even imagine how many titles we've done together. And one of the exciting things is he recently contacted me about doing some video editing. You know, he's thinking about moving into that realm of narrating because he's got great animators that work with him, and he certainly has a fantastic voice. So who knows what 2024 may hold with that new adventure.
Right. And you are his 24 karat legend, or are you beyond 24
karat? I'm 42.
42 yep. carats now?
Yep.
It's so funny when he's narrating in his studio and he has a message for Josie, he'll just narrate it right in and he'll say, Josie, because he's got a great British accent. And, you know, you're my 42 karat legend. So, yeah, he's been with us. Probably right from the beginning. It was kind of him and Dorothy Mae Mercer, as I mentioned earlier, who got us started with so many books.
Right.
So then, you know, we started developing this team and, you know, we've added, oh my gosh, three or four new people to the team this year. We've brought back Jade Fair.
Yep. Thank goodness.
Yeah. She was working for us and then moved off to the Netherlands and needed to focus on that school stuff, you know, and got that all under her belt and has come back. So that's great.
We have to get her back on the website.
That's right.
Yeah.
We probably still have her picture. So we've brought John onto the team that approached us about some editing, and we really loved his work and said, we need you.
Yeah.
Joe White has come onto the team. Mm-hmm. He went through the classroom, kind of learned how to do all of this stuff, and now we've got him auditioning for books.
He's working hard to get it under his belt.
Yeah, yeah. Wendy joined the team. Candace joined the team. Brian Rollins joined the team. So it's been a good year of growth, you know. So now we have several people who are editing. We've got Brandy Mays, who is narrating and learning to edit so that she can keep herself busy and occupied even when not in
she's got
narration.
She's got a lot going on right now.
Yeah, we're going to kind of get to some of those to those book issues in just a moment. Yeah, so excellent, excellent people joining us. And we have some celebrations, right? Where we've worked four people into their first books.
They've done amazing work, and we're so excited for them to have their first books. They've worked really hard.
Yeah.
And that's Brandy and Julie and Wendy and
Carol.
Carol, yes. And Carol had done some of her own books on her own, but yeah, in association with our studio.
It's great. It's exciting. It's, you know, right now as we speak, I think we are in production with 15 books.
Mm-hmm.
We have 8 that are kind of in various modes of, you know, finding that right narrator, because the right voice is essential. So that audition process is really big.
Right.
So we've got about 8 books in that process. And then, you know, it just seems like every couple of days I'm on a Zoom with another author who's really curious about this world of audiobooks and how to get their books into audio. So,
and I think so much of it relies on the seeds we planted this year. You know, when we look back on the beginning of the year, we toured the East Coast and pretty much feel like we stopped in almost every state. And spoke to writers groups and talked about getting their books in audio. And we really approached it from, you know, you do a great presentation, but we tried to approach it from teaching these indie authors how to step through the hoops and yo-yos. I probably don't want to say that. How we can teach these authors to learn the ropes of getting their books into audio. What's the terminology? What are the platforms? What do all the acronyms mean? And people really, you know, we're genuine and we want to build those relationships. And I think people pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And those seeds, certainly within the last several months, really started to bloom. People will call and say, you spoke to my writer's group and I've really been thinking about it and now I'm ready.
Yeah.
And then you start the process with them.
And we don't know how many audiobooks those presentations are responsible for that we don't know about, because we really take it, we approach it from a teaching perspective rather than a sales
right.
perspective. We're not, you know, they're pushing our business. Really, the objective is we teach them how to go through the process, how to find a narrator, and how to get their books produced, what to expect along the way. Some may have done that and not called us.
Right, right. We'll never know.
We don't.
But it seems like they're all calling us.
which is wonderful.
Absolutely.
We had a couple of major events. We went to the Fresh Book Festival.
In Daytona Beach.
In Daytona Beach. We presented there, met some great people. We had an opportunity to attend Killer Nashville in Nashville, Tennessee. And we were a part of a panel there. We had a vendor table there and spoke with, oh my gosh.
So many people.
So many.
Yep.
Actually got to meet some of our narrators.
Authors.
And authors for the first time. We met Tom Hare came down from, he lives in Kentucky. He came down for the day to meet an author he narrates for.
Right.
And we met that author. We met the author that Candace narrates for.
Yep.
We met an author that I've narrated for, Patrick Kendrick.
Right, right. I forgot about Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just great.
It was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool. We were also invited to speak to the Florida Authors and Publishers Association
Orlando, yep.
What a great organization.
That was fun. And decided to join them as partner members because we had such a great time.
We did.
And they, you know, it's less about the great time, but more about the people and the connections we met. Like, we want to be associated with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for any writers that are listening, if you write in the, you know, mystery, murder, that whole kind of ilk, you're probably very familiar with Killer Nashville. But if you haven't been, you definitely should look into it. But writers, regardless of what genre.
Or where you reside.
Or where you live. That's right. Go to myfapa.org. My FAPA for Florida Authors and Publishers Association. They have a great awards ceremony at the end of their annual convention. You don't have to be in attendance to win. You won't be invited if you're not going to win. So if you do get invited, you know that you're at least going to get a gold medal, a gold, silver, or bronze medal.
Right.
But they're looking to increase the number of genres in which they award manuscripts. And just a great source of support.
Independent authors, absolutely.
Yeah. And like you said, Josie, there's no membership requirement, nor residency requirement. You don't have to be.
Right.
A resident of Florida in order to win. So, yeah, we've had a lot of great, great opportunities. And most of those are, you know, because of the marketing that we've pushed. You know, we've got Missy LaFleur working with us. And oh my goodness, talk about worth her weight in gold.
And coming full circle, you guys have quite the relationship. You know, when I think about our relationship with the LaFleurs, it's very interesting. Yeah. So you used to work with Missy when you worked in Chicopee. Mm-hmm. She worked in the classroom with you.
Yeah.
And you taught several of her children, right?
Yeah, two.
Two?
Yeah, two.
And
Jason
then,
was a little too young yet, but.
Yeah, okay. And then her husband, Marty, was in your band when our girls were just peanuts. So
yeah.
20 years ago, he was drummer.
Which is how Jason kind of came into the mix, because Jason would come out to band practice with Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember
Jason,
that.
We had Jason on the podcast, and he talked about remembering being upstairs playing on the computer, listening to the band through the floor.
So I used to babysit Jason?
I'm thinking that was it.
Interesting. I blocked that out. No offense, Jason.
Yeah, so Mackenzie was born in 1999. I left Chicopee in 98. So, yeah, okay. Missy and I have known each other since probably 94, 95.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Jason got her involved in doing the classroom and learning how to record, how to edit. Didn't she edit his first book?
I think she proofed it.
And so then when we were at a point where we needed another marketer, we reached out to our team first and said, who might be interested in this? And we were thrilled to have Missy raise her hand and say, I would love to work with you.
Yeah. And it's been
great. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Check out our Instagram. If you haven't checked out Scott Ellis Reads on our Instagram, we have asked her to figure out the algorithms of social media, and she's working really hard to put together fantastic ads and really just blanket social media with Scott Ellis Reads, especially when there's a new release. But
yeah.
One of the things we learned through our travels and through our conversations is that authors just really want to write their books. They just want to write. And the whole world of marketing and audiobooks, you know, as we talked about audiobooks being confusing or just one additional piece they have to learn, they feel that way about marketing too, some of them. And so we thought, okay, maybe there's a hole we can fill here as well and start to have us learn how to market because we don't really know a ton about it, but be able to offer that as a service to our clients too. And Missy's really taken that ball and run with it. Yay, Missy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so Missy was responsible for getting us in front of the writers group.
Right.
In the group, or she was responsible for getting us into the presentation that we made.
And conferences.
And one of the reasons that the author decided to come to us was because of this beefed up marketing plan that we've put into place, which is pretty much run by
Missy.
Ah. So this is really like
we need
Missy
to get Missy
Reads.
On this. We need to get Missy on the podcast.
We need like a, you know, a wall. We need like the partners, you know, so it's going to be like Ellis and LaFleur. Like,
yes.
Be our own law firm.
Right.
You know, but Josie, when you said, you know, that authors pretty much just want to write, they don't want to do the marketing, you know, it's so true. And we find that the two stumbling blocks that writers have when we talk to them is they say, well, it's so expensive to get my book in audio, which I think we address because we have, you know, fairly low prices. And they said, secondly, I don't know how to market it. You know, so this marketing plan that we've developed really helps them with the content. But, you know, I go back to, I'm going to put my teaching hat back on here for a second. You know, I go back to my number one answer when authors ask me, how do I market my audiobook? I say, you don't. You market yourself. You market your story. And then when you've sold your would-be listener on your story, now they turn to the marketplace and they've got one more platform from which to consume your story. They can get it in audio. They can get it in digital. They can get it in paperback. They can buy it from you standing at the table at the book signing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talk with our clients about, you know, they can't buy the audiobook necessarily right there, you know, because you're not printing them out on CDs. But you can have a QR code printed out that they just take a picture of with their phone, and it takes them right to the website so they can download it. You give them a little thank you token gift right at that moment. So we've got a lot of ideas, you know. And you know, as to the price, yeah, I think we're really on the low end of competitive of where our prices are. And you know, authors tend to think that we, you know, just turn on our microphone and read their book. And there's really so much more that goes into it. How many hands would you say are involved in any single title?
Different hands?
Sure.
So there's yours. There is the proofers. Judy does the proofing, my mother. There is either mine as the editor, but then we forgot to mention that Dom and Nate really picked up a lot of editing this year. That was a new role for them, from narrating to editing. And then obviously the author and the narrator, whether it's you or you setting it up with the client and the narrator. So what are we at?
And
five?
Missy to advertise it.
Missy to advertise?
Half
That's a dozen?
Seven.
Oh, God.
Seven hands in the book. You know, and, you know, for you to listen to a 1 hour of an audiobook can take our team up to 8 hours to produce. So it's a very time-consuming
art. It's a time-consuming art.
It's a time-consuming art. Yeah, I love that. So, yeah, we're really grateful for Missy and the diligence that she brings to what she does with us. And she is really the reason we were hopping in 2023.
Right,
right from the beginning when we took off to Sanibel in our camper, which I think Sanibel called the other day and said they want us in their camper back. So we'll be heading off soon.
A friend of mine calls it the southern headquarters of Scott Ellis Reads.
That's right. It is.
It is.
We work while we're there.
Yes, we do. It is not a vacation.
No. relationships that we've built this year, you know, with our new narrators and with our new editors and with all these new authors. You know, we also have a really nice relationship with Pro Audio Voices, you know, that I've narrated many books for. Several of our narrators are now narrating books for. And that's been fantastic. It's been really nice because although they do the same thing that we do in terms of audiobook production, it's not a dog-eat-dog industry if you don't let it become that way.
Right. We can certainly work alongside of them and each produce great titles for different authors. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, we hope to continue that. And boy, late in 23, just recently, we partnered with Hallard Press out of the Villages, Florida. It's a small press company run by Nancy. And we spoke at the Villages again, thanks to Missy. We spoke at the Villages.
I don't even think Marcia was at the talk, but somebody who Marcia knows was at the talk, I think.
Right.
She mentioned us. Marcia called, said she works with Nancy as the publisher. Bing, bam, boom.
Right.
We had like eight new projects to do.
Yeah.
I think almost all of those eight
projects
might be from Nancy.
Yeah. Marcia approached us about narrating her book. And I said, yeah, let's set up a Zoom. I'll walk you through the process. And she said, would it be okay if my publisher sat in on the meeting? Because she's been thinking about audiobooks and I think she might enjoy to hear the process. So, I said, yeah, absolutely. So Nancy Hellickson showed up on the Zoom and we were talking about Marcia's book. And at the end, Nancy said, yeah, I think this works and let's do this. And then she put out this beautiful press release saying, you know, that
next day.
Right. We're now partnering with Scott Ellis Reads to bring books into audio. And I think at the end of that day,
she had
her first client say, I'm in.
Yep.
And we're actually in process for finding the right narrator. I believe that's the Tales from the Erie Canal.
Right.
That we're trying to find the right narrators for that book right now. And it's what a great relationship That has been.
Yeah, and going to be. Yeah. That one's just started.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, we talk about it not being a dog-eat-dog world. You know, some of the narrator requirements haven't really been able to be fulfilled by our team because of accents or age or, you know, whatever the issue is. And so we've been able to go out to the wider network of narrators and say, hey, listen, this is a compilation between Scott Ellis Reads and Hallard Press. We'd love to have you audition for this book. And then we'll be able to keep those people kind of on our mm-hmm. on our roster of narrators that we can go to for future projects.
Yeah, I think that's that was also just a new opportunity for us. We had talked about that, you know, if we had a client that came in and we didn't have the right voice and we just didn't have the opportunity to pull the trigger. And now we do. And you've gone through that process with Nancy, and it just opens up. You know, we want our narrators, obviously, to have as much work as possible, but being able to find the right voice is key. And if we can reach out and just know what that process looks like, it was seamless.
Yeah. Yeah. And putting my teacher's hat back on for a second about, you know, our narrators versus the narrators out there in the wider community. You know, yeah, we'd love to keep our narrators busy, but, you know, we narrators have to have and or grow thick skin. Because finding the right voice is essential. And, you know, I've narrated 100 books, but I am not the right voice for every book. And I get that. And I'm fine that the client goes with someone else. Because if I'm not the right voice and they try and mold me to become the right voice, now all of a sudden I'm not narrating in a way that's true to myself. And I'm not going to be able to maintain that for the length of a 10, 12, 15 hour book.
Right.
I'm never going to feel comfortable. I'm never going to really be happy in the end.
Or the client won't
be
happy.
The client isn't going to be happy in the end. And so it's a lose-lose. And then the client walks away saying, well, I got my book in audio and it's okay. But, you know, so yeah, we narrators have to let them go. Sometimes we're just not the right person. And it's hard sometimes, Josie. It's hard because you read the summary and you read the audition, your script, and you're like, oh,
I've got this.
Man, I want to do this book. Yep. And you can't get tied to them.
Right.
Because right. You've got to be able to let them go.
And then here's a funny thing. You just spoke with somebody yesterday who said they came, one of the voices that they were most attracted to on the team was mine, and I don't even do audiobooks. So that might grow me further if I have to try that world. It took me a long time to do the voiceovers and feel comfortable there,
right.
Which I certainly am now. But
you knocked that out of the park.
But to add in audiobooks, that'll be another adventure.
Right.
I mean, if I try.
All you have to do is find a good coach.
Right. I better start looking.
Application line forms right behind me. Yeah, it's great, you know, and who knows, once she hears you audition,
I might not be the right voice.
That's right. You know, and that happened to us a couple of times this year. It's so, so important for authors to hear their words coming from the narrator they want. You can't do it by listening to a sample. Maybe you get an idea that, oh yeah, that person really might be the right one, but they've got to hear their words coming out of the narrator's mouth because
it makes a difference.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes it real.
Yep.
Wow. What a year.
What a year. What a long, strange trip it's been.
To quote the late, great Jerry Garcia. Yeah. It has been, because, you know, we're trying to keep up with all of the other things that we want to do in life and, you know, keep our relationship moving forward. And, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, with Scott Ellis Reads, we only work, you know, what, 7 days a week from really just 8 to 11.
Right.
Yeah.
A.M. to P.M.
Well, sure, of course.
Yeah, I think the greatest thing when we started to kind of come full circle, you know, we got Mackenzie graduated, like we said, the year that we started this. We got Megan finished. We got the girls, both the girls, through college. We're maintaining our Airbnb, which is super fun, and we're still eating. Yeah. So it's, you know, the business is doing well, and that's really magnificent. You know, I think what do they say? You start a new business, and if it's not going to be successful, it peters out within the first 3 to 5 years or something like that. And we're zooming past that mark almost without even realizing it.
Yeah.
You know, when we looked back at the dates today, it was like, oh, really? 7 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite amazing.
There's an old adage about there are two ways to be rich. Make more or want less. You know, and, you know, I certainly don't want to complain, but, you know, there's not a lot of profit in audiobook production. So, you know, we definitely have decided to live the want less lifestyle, and we've sacrificed in certain areas, but, you know, getting ready to put our camper on the back of the Jeep to go to, you know, Sanibel Island for 2 months, even though it's to work, you know, gosh,
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to our day jobs.
Nope.
For anything.
I feel rich every day working with you.
Oh. As long as you keep it the wanting less part, you know, we'll be just fine. Josie, this has been great. Welcome to the end of 2023. Thank you for coming on and kind of sharing our story, our year in review. And now I've got to tell you, as a final note, it's time to get back to work. Let's do 2024.
Done.
Thank you so much for joining us one more time. Thank you for all of your support through 2023. And we hope to see you, hear from you, and know that you're out there listening to our audiobooks and our podcast. And who knows, maybe contacting us to get involved in this crazy thing we call Scott Ellis Reads. Thank you so much for your support, your time, your energy. We really appreciate every single one of you.
Happy holidays.